out of Galatians 2 and verse 20. Well, welcome again to all of you today. Take your Bible and go to two texts, one in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Find that Old Testament passage, then go to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20, and we will read from both of those texts this morning. Welcome. Glad to see you in the house today on a chilly morning in Northwest Florida. Kind of cool, wasn't it? Yeah, but I'm glad you're here. Heat's on. We're inside and delighted that you're with us this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra is the scribe, and Ezra is about to speak. And we find it in Nehemiah 8, beginning in verse number 4. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood six men with hard names on his right hand, and seven men with hard names on his left hand. 13, six on one side, seven on the other. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people, so let's rise. All the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered him, and what did they say?
Amen.
While lifting up their hands, then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20, Paul said, "For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore, also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us." Ezra spoke, and the people responded, "Amen and amen." And Paul said, "All the many promises of God, and in Him, they are yes and amen." Father, I pray in these next few minutes that as I expose the Scripture and exhort the people, that we might extol Your name. Draw us up unto Yourself, I pray, and be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. A few years ago, I was invited by our congressman to come to Washington and pray the opening prayer for a session of Congress. John Tyner was with me, and later in the day, we would go down in the basement and lead a worship service in the Capitol. I had to submit my prayer to the chaplain's office ahead of time. And when the time came, I walked to the well and delivered that prayer that day. Just a few days ago, a Missouri congressman, Emmanuel Cleaver, opened the Congress in prayer. He is a member of Congress and a Methodist minister with a doctor's degree in some kind of theology. And he finished his prayer, "Amen and a woman," showing his idiocy and theological buffoonery. It was an amazing event because To pray amen and a woman was not the worst thing that he said. For he talked about a monotheistic God and gave him other names. Well, when I heard that, I said, Lord, I would like to preach on amen. Would that be okay? And I heard the voice of heaven say, amen. So I want to talk about amen for a few minutes this morning. Nehemiah recorded the biblical use of it. When Ezra spoke and the people said, not a man and a woman, they said amen and amen. When you read the Lord's Prayer, it ends, amen. When you get to the last word of the Bible, it is amen. 78 times in Scripture, you find the word amen. And whether it is in Hebrew or Greek, it is always with the same meaning. Amen always means so be it. Truly, verily, yes, I agree. Woohoo! That's what amen is. When you hear truth, you affirm it. And you say amen. It has nothing to do with a man or a woman. There is nothing gendered about this word. That is a man bringing his political philosophy into intercession where it has no place. Amen. Now, I realize that this service is usually a little louder than the first service. So I'm expecting more out of you than I got out of them. But let me tell you, that old crowd got with it at 9:30. Yes, they helped the preacher. And so wherever you find it right this morning, you just need to say that word. That's what I'm talking about. And you just jump in wherever. You say, I've never said amen in church. Well, today is your day. Amen. So when you hear truth, you just drop it in. Now, let me say that a misplaced amen is the worst thing you can have happen in church. I have some people, they'll say it's wrong, and they get an amen. Oh, Lord, that was bad right there. Right behind it is when truth is there and amen is just ready to drop and nobody says anything. That's the second worst thing you can have in church. So help yourself today and just jump in on the promises of God. Amen. Yes. Amen and amen. Paul says the promises of God are yes and amen. You know, one of the names for Jesus is the Amen. In Revelation 3 and verse 14, he is called the Amen, the beginning of the truth of God, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the Amen. He is the final word every time. Amen. So I want us to look. There's a plethora of promises that I could look at today, but I've just mined three that I want to pull up out of the Word of God and give you three promises that I want you to say amen to this morning. Number one, I want you to say amen to the salvation promise. The salvation promise. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We find from the pen of the Apostle Paul these words, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now look at the promise. The salvation promise is right here. Paul said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Believe what? Confess what? That Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. If you believe in your heart and confess that with your mouth, like three confessed in the baptistry this morning. And by the way, the way Ethan baptized, we count them twice, all right? I'm telling you, they stayed down a while, didn't they? Amen. That's a big old boy doing that baptizing. I was glad I wasn't in the pool today, but amen. They'll never forget it. And they made their confession. They believed in their heart, and they confessed with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and he's raised from the dead. For when a person believes that it results in righteousness, with his mouth he confesses, and it results in his salvation. Let me just ask you this question today. Have you ever believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord? If you've done that, you're saved. If you've never done that, today's the day that you ought to do it. If you're watching us online today, I encourage you there in your own home or office or wherever you might be, that you'd believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He'll save you today. Just call on him and he'll do it. If you're listening on the radio, by the way, I had letters this week from people in our radio audience from prison who said to me, Pastor, they've canceled all of our chapels services because of COVID. We can't have chapel in the prison. The only light we get is from the radio broadcast coming from Olive Baptist Church. That's over at Blackwater in Milton. They're in that prison and they're listening this morning, hearing the truth of the Word of God. Praise the Lord for that going forth. Yeah, say amen to those guys that are there this morning. We're for them. We're helping them. Want to encourage them. I wrote them a letter back and said, we're praying for you. If you're in prison, God will save you. If you're in your office, God will save you. God will do that work within your soul. You need Christ. And we need to say amen to the salvation promise. He's one of my favorites that I like to read after in management and positive thought. Zig Ziglar. Oh, Brother Zig. You know, that's not his real name. His real first name is Hillary. True. Hillary Hinton Ziegler. He writes in his autobiography, now you know why I call myself Zig. Zig Ziegler was born the 10th child of 12 children in Coffee County, Alabama, just outside of Dothan. When he was just a little boy, his daddy moved the family to Yazoo City, Mississippi. When Zig was 5 years old, his daddy died. His mama was left with 12 kids. The pastor and a leader from the First Baptist Church of Yazoo City came to their house and said, we want to help. Ms. Ziegler said, we don't need any charity. And the pastor said, we're not offering charity, we're offering what the Bible has told us to do. She said, oh, okay. And they helped her move off a farm and into a house in town. And Zig said, my mother loved Jesus. We were in church every time the doors opened. That was even before Daddy had died. But Zig said, while I heard the gospel and knew the gospel, I never had believed on the gospel. And in his autobiography, he writes about hearing a lady at a meeting. Sister Susan, I think, I'm not sure, was a woman that was talking. And he went home and told his family, would you invite Susan, sister, to our house? I'd like to talk. And sister came. And he said, from the time she walked in the door, it was just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said that day, July the 4th, 1972, in my 46th year of living, I became a Christian. He said that day, and I quote from his autobiography, Jesus Christ asked me to come to him, and I did, and Jesus made me a new person. And from that day till he died, Zig lived for Christ. He laid down his social drinking habit. He said, I never took another drink except one time. He said, I was on a plane and they gave me what I thought was orange juice. I took one swallow and said, oh no, that's not orange juice by itself. He said, I gave the cup back. It's the only time, he said, I ever broke my promise to the Lord that I just wouldn't do that anymore for my witness. And Zig said, I tried to share with the world what the good sister had shared with me. He joined the First Baptist Church in Dallas. Dr. Criswell baptized him, just like we baptized these three here today, just like we'd baptize you if you would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a promise, and that promise says, look at it in verse 9, that if you believe, if you confess, then he'll save you. That's the promise. And this morning, some of you need to say, that's me, preacher. Amen. I'm here and I trust him. Many of you have already done that, and you should simply say, thank God and amen for the salvation promise today. Secondly, there is another promise I want you to see, and I want you to say amen not only to the salvation promise, I want you to say amen to the tribulation promise. Oh, it's a little tougher. John 16 and verse 33, we find the Word of God, and Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Friend, that's a promise. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus makes the tribulation promise. Friend, I'm telling you, you live for Christ, you're going to have trouble. There are at least three kinds of trouble that I'd share with you. Number one are just general trials that we all walk through. Romans 8, 35, 36 speak to us of those just general trials that we all have. Difficulty, you're walking in them today. If you're not, you'll walk in them tomorrow. It comes. We all have just general things that stress us, and we have to deal with that. And then secondly, there are afflictions that God allows. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. God just allows some things to come in our life. There are afflictions that come. Paul had them in his life. Paul prayed for them to go away. They wouldn't go away. They were there by the hand of the Lord. There are certain afflictions that come that make us the better when we respond to them properly. And then there's Hebrews 12:6. Sometimes there's chastisement because God disciplines his own. And when he has to deal with us, there are times that he takes us to the proverbial woodshed. Chastisement comes. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage, be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. You should pray for preachers this week. There's never been a more interesting, difficult, and stressing time to preach than the pastors that took to pulpits across the land today. It's a hard day. 8 years ago in Bremerton, Washington, Joe Kennedy was hired as a football coach. Coach Kennedy made this promise. He said, after every game, whether a win, whether a lose, whether we play good or whether we stink, He said, when the boys leave the field and everything's done, I will go to the 50-yard line and I will kneel down for 15 seconds and I will thank God, win or lose, good or bad, for the opportunity to coach these boys. And Joe Kennedy made his promise. In year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in year 7, the school board told him he couldn't kneel anymore. In year 8, they fired him for kneeling for 15 seconds. He is not a football coach today. Last year it was national news when Kennedy was excused, fired, tribulation. School board had the right to fire him. They made the rules and they took action. Twitter has the right to tell you whether you can have an account or not. If it's a privately owned company, they can say who has it and who had it. Now, if you run a bakery, it's a different story, but different rules, different folk. You see, what this old world is calling for is consistency. But let me tell you, if you're going to count the cost and take the stand, sometimes there is the price to pay. And when tribulation comes, take courage. Take courage. Say amen. Be willing, if you're going to pay the price, to pay it fully. You don't get to be mean. There's no excuse to have a stinking attitude. No, sir. You live by love and grace and stand firm. If they cut your head off before it rolls in the basket, say amen. There is a tribulation prompt. But he will not leave you or forsake you. Some of the greatest days of God's people have come in some of the darkest hours. Mm-hmm. So say amen to the salvation promise, to the tribulation promise, and thirdly, to the supply promise. I think it probably is the greatest promise in all the Word of God in Philippians chapter 4. Outside of your personal salvation, in Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20, we find a promise of supply. Oh, my soul, what a word that God gives us in Philippians 4, 19, where the Bible says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. My God will supply your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's a promise of supply. Notice the source. My God. Not any God. Not a God that you make up. Not a God that's not founded in Scripture, but the God of the universe. Paul said, my God. In Psalm 18:29, he said, with God I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. My God. He's our source. We ought to be talking to Him more than we are. We ought to be praying more. Next Sunday. We're going to pray Pensacola. Listen to me now. 4 o'clock. Listen to me. 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. We have hand-selected some people to go downtown. We have been assigned in this Pray Pensacola 3 blocks to pray over. All of us can't go. There's not room for everybody down there. So we've hand-selected some people to go and pray on those 3 blocks downtown. And all the rest of us are going to meet either on the Warrington campus or on the Pensacola campus at 4 o'clock. We're going to pray for 1 hour from 4 to 5. You come. You say, well, preacher, am I supposed to go downtown? If you are, you already know it. You've been asked. You've been selected. You've been elected. And you've said yes. You say, well, I can't go down there. Good, you come here at 4 o'clock. We're going to get all over this building. We're going to pray for movement. We're going to pray for the movement of God. He's our soul. Can anybody agree with the preacher? We need revival. Amen. Amen. Well, how's it come? Comes through prayer and fasting. And so I want to encourage you that you pray. If you've been selected, go downtown, pray. But if you hadn't been selected and asked to go down there, after you get over your feelings being hurt, come here at 4 o'clock. All right? And if you hadn't been asked, it's because they probably thought you'd get your feelings hurt. So they want you to repent and come here. All right? They didn't ask me to go. They told me to stay here. All right? 4 o'clock. I'll lead this group. John and I'll be here. We'll sing a little. We'll pray a lot. He is our source of supply. But not only is he the source, he's the scope. All. He will supply all your needs. Not all you greed, but all you need. Amen. There is a big difference. We got a lot of greed. We got a lot of need, and God said, I'll supply your needs. The sufficiency is the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the bank account. Hallelujah. That's where you cash the check from. That is the sufficiency. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Why? Because he's sufficient. Amen. And then he is the surety in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the signature on the check of our supply on God's bank account in glory. My mama got one of those checks this week. $600. One of those that I talked to you about last week. Some of y'all said you didn't want it, and I told you, we'll just give it to the church. We'll take care of it. Well, I got that check. And Mama's in the home where I can't always get in. So I called my wife, and I said, Liz. I said, now, here, I have a copy. This is Mama's signature. You just write Mama's name on the back of this check. Like, write it like Mama would write it. She said, I'm not going to do it. I said, why not? She said, I'm not going to jail for you and nobody else. I'm not going to sign it. I said, well, they'll never know. I said, you can sign just like her. I can't. I sign fat and all, it's ugly. I said, but you can sign pretty like Mama. She said, uh-uh. I'm not doing it. Hey, did you know that if you deposit into your account with your phone, you don't even have to sign it on the back? How they do that? I don't know. I put Mama's check in her account, just wrote deposit only on the back. Boom, went right in there. My wife wouldn't even help me. I was talking to my buddy Elijah in Romania this week, and he said something about Liz, and I said, well, she's not going to do that. He said, you make her do it. I said, I can't make her do it. He said, you have too much democracy at your house. I said, that's why I'm married. Amen. I like my democracy. I said, it's easy for you to say halfway around the world. Come over here and say it. You'll find out. Amen. You see, my wife signing wouldn't do any good. But let me tell you, Jesus has signed the check in his own blood of your supply, of your need, according to God's riches in his glory. You can cash the check if Jesus is the signator. And he signed it at Calvary and said, I'll meet your need, for I am your source, the scope, the sufficiency, the surety of all you need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know your need today, but I'm here to tell you that you need to say amen and learn about the supply of God's riches. When when you think you can't, and then you know you can't, God can. We had 4 funerals here this week. I've never been so proud of a support team and staff in all my life. They've worked. Oh, my goodness. We've had some sick and couldn't be here. Others have doubled up. My Lord, I've been so proud of them. Yesterday, right here, 31-year-old lady, 6 kids. We got to the end of that funeral. I walked right here and I asked those little star-stipped children. First 2, named Malachi and Jeremiah. And the last 4 all begin with A. I call them the 2 prophets and the 4 A's. That's how I keep up with them. I ask them to come with their grandparents and stand. I told them, I said, kids, when your mama's gone, you got to look to the Heavenly Father as your supply. Amen. They didn't all understand that, but the grandparents did. Them 2 older boys did, and they looked me in the eye. I can't imagine. And my mama be gone. How would you make it? You say amen to God's supply. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. That's how you do it. If we're not careful, we'll lose the amen in the church. I grew up at the Pisgah Baptist Church. Little crossroads town in northeast Alabama, I tell you about all the time. It's just a little white frame church. I got a picture of it in my office at home. I got saved in that little white frame church. And man, we used to have church in there. My goodness. Brother Banks, he'd get to preaching. Brother Roden over here. Glory! Yeah. Amen! I mean, they go way up in their register when they say it. And I'd hear somebody, I mean, we had church. Oh, look, we had church. And then we didn't have enough room, and we bought property across the street. And we built a big new building, paid for it. A few years went by and I noticed something changed. We got a little stiff. A little staid. It's quiet when Brother Lionel preached. Had a couple moved into town. Wasn't a big town. We didn't have lots of visitors. It's kind of like Zig Ziglar used to say about Yazoo City, a little town where he grew up. He said, we wasn't even big enough to have a town drunk. We just had to borrow some from other places because we didn't have enough people for anybody to be drunk all the time. That's kind of the way Pisgah was. We didn't have a town drunk. We had to borrow one every now and then. Just a little crossroad town. New family came. Brother Lionel got to preaching one Sunday. I remember I was sitting in the youth group. He sat in the back. He got on something and that visitor said, amen. I thought people's heads going to pop off. They turn around looking at him. I said, that's that same crowd used to shout. Now they're looking at that old boy. I thought, Lord, we've lost something. We lost something. And let me tell you, church, in that old church, it got kind of cold. God sent revival.
1969, 70, 71, them hippies started coming. Long hair, no shoes, sitting in the floor. God shook that old church. People started saying amen again. Somebody come to Jesus, they'd say amen. I'll walk forward and announce my call to preach. Crying women came through saying amen. One old, old woman came by. She said, God told me when you was 12 years old, he called you to preach. I said, why didn't you tell me? I'll never forget it. She said, my God, son, if you can't hear him call you, you never will be a preacher. I said, amen. Yeah. She was right on it. She said, I've been waiting 5 years for you to hear what God told me. And she said, I've come to tell you got it right. I said, well, amen. Glory to God. I needed that. See, the church needs its amen. We need all the men and we need all the women. But we just need one amen. Because it's not a gendered word. Amen is so be it. Yes, verily, truth. Woo! I'm in, preacher. Yes, let it be. Yes. Somebody's here this morning and you've never said amen to the promise of God to save you. When this service is done, we're singing. You need to come right here to this table or go to one of those out there and we're going to introduce you to Jesus. Just come say amen. You say, I've never been baptized. Like, come. We'll say amen. If you watch online today, then just see that number that's there. 94,000 is there on the screen. You just text the word Savior to us and we'll call back to you. I had a guy I called yesterday, filled out cards last week. I called a family yesterday and said, we want to join. How do we do it? I said, well, we'll call you next week. I said, I got a guy. I already gave it to him. John will make that call. Do it tomorrow. If you want to be a part of this church, let us know. We'll reach out to you. If you're here, just say amen. Maybe you're going through heartache today and you just need to come lay your need at this altar after this service. You just come kneel here. And say, oh God, I give my tribulation unto you. Amen. Lord, I want you to be my supply. Now in the first service, I surprised Brother John. I didn't tell anybody. Nobody. I've been planning this all week. And I had him sing a song that he didn't even know that I was going to ask him to do it. I knew I was going to ask him to do it, but I didn't tell him. He got real nervous. But he did real good. And so I started it. And then my wife couldn't be here today, but she watched the early service. She sent me a text. She said, if you do that in the second service, let John start it. I text her back, yes, ma'am. Amen. Bless God. I'm preaching, I sing if I want to. Yeah. She ain't watching this service, so amen. I told John that. He said, yeah, Pastor, I was going to come to you and ask you if I could start it in a second service. So smart aleck started over there, would you?
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. our Savior.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Pretty good choir, church. Amen. You are. If you've never said amen to the promise, go ahead and praise the Lord. If you've never said amen to the promise of God to save you, come right here when John sings his song. You never joined his church, come right here. You need to come to this altar, just feel free to come and speak to the Lord about your tribulation. Burden. Say, Lord, I leave it with your supply. Amen and amen. When you come here, say those words. It'll help the preacher. It'll lift your soul. And it'll encourage the saints that are around you. I'll see you next time we gather right here at Olive. You need Christ, come.